Our scripture this morning is Mark 4, 26 to 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's begin our time with a word of prayer. God, we are grateful this morning for this opportunity to gather. We're grateful for your scriptures, and we're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to read together and listen to your living word speaking to us. So we just pray this morning that you would guide our thinking as we look at this text in Mark together. We love you, Lord. We want to be your disciples, Jesus, and we thank you that you are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 10 years ago, I was 24 and just out of Goshen College, and I had an opportunity to travel with four other young adults in a white van for 5 months across the Central Plains Mennonite Conference. We were called Seeds of the Kingdom. That was the name of our team. And it was something sponsored by the Central Plains Mennonite Conference, where they were asking us to go into their congregations and to basically begin conversations and build relationships around the topic of shalom. And so we went, five young adults, with lots of our own questions, some convictions that we held, and excitement to build relationship and get to know some of these congregations in the Central Plains Mennonite Conference. The way it usually worked is we would travel to one of the locations, for example, Kelowna, Iowa. We would stay and host families, so they would host us, and that was really the way that we built relationships and just conversations around the dinner table. Oftentimes on a Saturday evening, we would connect with the youth group, and we would just, you know, bring up the topic of shalom, try to define it in its biblical context as a biblical understanding of peace. And we asked a lot of questions. So what does it mean for you to be a community of shalom where you're at here in Kelowna, Iowa? And we were really interested in the youth's perspective of what it meant to them and how they connected in church. And we would do some fun things as well. And then Sunday morning, we would often give the sermon and lead the worship time. We'd often have a potluck fellowship meal that the church would host for us. And then in the afternoon, we'd have some kind of another lesson, maybe on Anabaptist history. We would have a time when we invited conscience objectors who once were COs to come up and share stories of their experience and what it meant for them to be people of Christ's peace. So we did this for 5 months, traveling around, and it was an awesome experience. And one of the reasons that we were called ourselves Seeds of the Kingdom is because we were traveling around Central Plains, which is a very agricultural area. Many of the churches that we were going into, a lot of the people there were farmers, and they could connect with the theme of seeds and agriculture. And also recognizing that the topic that we have of wanting to talk about shalom worked well with seeds as well. Recognizing what were the seeds that were planted in your churches and in yourselves that make you want to be people of Christ's peace and people of shalom. And how are those seeds continuing to grow? And what do they look like in your context? It was a really awesome experience for me to be a part of that. And this was before I had done any seminary or was even thinking about ever being a pastor. But the thing that sticks out to me really about Central Plains is after that Seeds of the Kingdom time, they gave me a $500 scholarship for my first seminary class. And at the time, I was like, I will never do seminary. And they said, well, you just served for 5 months in the Central Plains. This is the least we can do for you. And they gave me that scholarship. And that was one of the reasons why I took my first class at the EMS Lancaster Seminary, because of what Central Plains did. So it's pretty cool the way that the church around the United States helped to shape me getting to seminary. This morning, I want to think a little bit about what it means to be seeds of God's kingdom. And thank you, Donna, for starting to get our this topic starting to think about a little bit with your thoughts and words there. The scripture we had this morning is two parables that we have. And beginning in Mark 3:23, it has concluded an extended string of parables. And all of these really have the theme of, what is the kingdom of God like? What is the context for experiencing what the inauguration of God's reign coming to earth can look like? And parables are often comparisons. They're often meant to give us some analogy or a contrast or a reflection. They're sometimes a little bit hard to understand if we're honest, right? Parables stoke the imagination a little bit. They make us wrestle with trying to get some pictures, but it's not always very black and white. Sometimes parables are more confusing than helpful, in my opinion. But that's why we figure them out together. In both stories here this morning, Jesus speaks about seeds. And it's important to understand that in the context that Jesus is speaking of, seeds are often a metaphor for themes of formation and education, to indicate that God's new order of the kingdom of God, where Jesus reigns, will take root and eventually come to fruition. And so we see in the first parable here, Jesus speaks about seeds and what they are supposed to do. What do seeds do when they are planted? They grow. They produce. They produce a fruit. So this parable is actually very simple and very straightforward. And this is what I think it's saying. The reign of God and God's kingdom will take root. Whether in the world or in our hearts, this is a parable of simply saying, God's kingdom is going to come, whether we want it or not, and whether the world wants it or not. God's kingdom will come. It's as simple as that. Just as a plant, as a seed is planted in the ground and grows and produces fruit, so will God's kingdom come to this earth, and the reign of Jesus will be known. Jesus does not specify exactly how it's going to happen here. It simply says it's going to happen. Maybe gradually and somewhat automatically. And it even says, even if God's followers of Jesus do nothing, the kingdom will still come. It will grow perhaps so subtly that you won't even notice it until at last it produces its intended fruit. The inevitability and mystery of the seed's maturation into a plant that eventually is harvested provides an important counterpoint to another parable about seeds, which is maybe a little bit more of a famous parable in Mark 4, about seeds being in different kinds of soil. Some seeds goes in the rocky soil and some in the good soil. And in that parable, it can be a little bit hard to read that it says, much of the seed fails to bear fruit because it was in the rocky soil. And so this parable, in a sense, contrasts that one a little bit to say, even though there's a lot of seed in rocky soil, God's kingdom is going to come. This is a word of hope for us, that seeds will blossom into God's fruit. It's a counterbalance and reassurance in the face of a context of the people living in a lot of violence and brokenness and the temple being destroyed and God's people wondering, where are you? This parable says, don't worry, have faith. Just as a seed grows, so my kingdom will come. This is good news for us today, because it reminds us as well, even in our brokenness, our own sorrows and pains, and in the pain of the world, that God's reign will come. In fact, it's coming right now. It's here, and it's continuing to grow. And that leads us into the second parable of the mighty mustard seed in Mark 4, 30 to 32. At first glance, this parable reaffirms things that people have already learned about God's reign. Something very small will eventually morph into something much larger. Something that appears obscure and insignificant, like a mustard seed, will turn into something grand. And yet there is more here. The reign of God won't just grow for the sake of looking pretty, but creatures will find that it provides them shelter and security as well. What might that mean for today? I think it's saying that the reign of God and God's kingdom coming is more than just a spiritual salvation. Yes, it is that. Peace with God and right relationship. But we hear in this text that the mustard seed also will blossom into something that provides safety and security and food for the birds of the air. And so what I think that is saying, Jesus is saying, is that God's kingdom is also concerned with the material reality of people, with people's physical needs. This parable says that God's kingdom is also a political one, where it matters how people are treated and how people's needs are met. The parable's punchline comes in two surprising ways here, I believe. First, we read, God's reign isn't like any ordinary seed. It resembles a mustard seed. This is not the kind of crop that most people would have expected Jesus to suggest is compared to the kingdom of God. A mustard seed? Say that again, Jesus? See, where Jesus lived, mustard was prolific like a common and sturdy weed. It could pop up almost anywhere and start multiplying. Some of Jesus' listeners must have groaned or chuckled a little bit, or done a second glance up. At the very least, been surprised to hear that Jesus say this. It would be like today saying, the kingdom of God is like a bunch of thistles and ground ivy that just you can't control at all. In any case, the reign of God apparently isn't much of a cash crop. Yet it grows. It is not easily eradicated. Better be careful what we pray for when we say, your kingdom come. Jesus also describes the mustard seed as the greatest of all shrubs in verse 32. The mustard seed can grow dense. It's hardly magnificent. If you Google mustard seed and see the plant, it's probably not the first picture we would think of as a beautiful plant. So Jesus, you can imagine, must have been grinning a bit as he speaks. Jesus here, I think, is absolutely genius in how he describes the kingdom of God. He's not aiming to impart insights about the relative worth of shrubberies, but to shock people into a new way of considering greatness and beauty. Remember the phrase, upside down kingdom. See, Jesus, I believe here in this parable of the mustard seed, is giving us a picture into how we consider success and wealth and the American dream and how we contrast that to life in the kingdom of God. Jesus' own journey to the cross, a self-giving up love in the face of a world that expected him to be powerful and mighty and defeat them with violence. Jesus here is showing us through the mustard seed an unexpected way to consider greatness and power. Matt Skinner, who is a professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, puts it this way, which I find helpful. The humor and the absurdity of the mustard seed is exactly the main point. Jesus could have likened God's reign to the mighty cedars of Lebanon if he wanted to describe an inbreaking state of affairs that would cause people to drop everything and be impressed. Instead, Jesus describes something much more ordinary and yet also something more able to show up, to take over inch by inch, and eventually to transform a whole landscape. The reign of God will mess with our established understandings of greatness and power and success, and conventional values of what wealth and doing well looks like. It's not going to look like the empire of the United States. It's just not. And that's hard for us to understand when we're so ingrained in that. I'm speaking to myself. But rather like a fast replicating plant, it will get into everything. It will bring life and color to desolate places. It will crowd out other concerns. And Skinner continues by saying, as a result, some people will want to burn it down and pull it out just like a weed, because it's a pointless attempt to restore their fields. Powerful words. So let's come back to today. What might this mean for the church and for all of us? 10 years ago, I did Seeds of the Kingdom. In fact, 10 years ago, I was packing my bags, about ready to go. And like I said, I hadn't done an ounce of seminary. I was figuring out a lot. But 10 years later, I look at where I'm at in my life, and I think about the topic of shalom that we were interested in talking about 10 years ago. And I think it's even more important than ever to continue the conversations that I was having 10 years ago in Central Plains. I think we need these seeds of the kingdom to be sown again more than ever. We need seeds of peace to be planted in our hearts, to let God grow them into embodied acts of following Jesus in the way of shalom. We need seeds of justice to be planted in our hearts, to be grown by God, to be reminded that just as the mustard seed provides food and shelter for the birds of the air, so the kingdom of God, it cares about the material reality of people and the justice of those often forgotten. We need seeds of justice for the migrant families that are being absolutely, they're just suffering right now from some of our policies. We need justice for these migrant, immigrant families to be planted in our hearts, that it may grow into God's vision of shalom, where the oppressed and the immigrant and the foreigner are actually first in God's kingdom. In fact, we have a mandate in Scripture to be a community that is a safe place for the foreigner. And so in the midst of the news this week, I think we need to come back and say, no, that's a bad reading of Romans 13. And we have a different way to read Scripture as Anabaptist Christians, where we actually are using Scripture to say, welcome the immigrant and the foreigner, and we want to be a safe place for you. We need seeds of justice to be planted in our hearts. We need seeds of love to be planted in our hearts. Seeds of love for one another in our own congregation as we continue to work together to be the church, to listen to one another, to grow together. And so I asked this question this morning. What are the seeds that God is planting in your heart? In other words, where do we as a congregation need something new to be planted within us and to grow just as God's kingdom is growing? Another text in the lectionary this week is 2 Corinthians 5:17. The text about being a new creation, as Paul says. Where do you need some new creation in your own heart and in your life? And I have a few examples here. Maybe it's being invited to work for justice in a new and surprising way that stretches you. Maybe it's trusting in God through some hardship. Maybe it's being invited into a relationship with a neighbor that honestly feels a little risky. Maybe it's letting go of something that you know is getting in the way of fully experiencing God's presence. Maybe it's an invitation to engage in church leadership in a new way. Maybe it's an opportunity to be vulnerable and open to where you need new growth. And so I think this text this morning invites us to be open to those seeds being planted and then nurtured. Another thing for today that this text might grow us towards, and this also comes out of my experience of doing Seeds of the Kingdom. Just as a seed is planted and it grows, what I think about when I think of that is I think of leadership development and calling out the gifts that we see in other people. And we have to be intentional in doing that. The more that I can empower another person to see their leadership gifts in the kingdom of God, that is 10 times better than me trying to do it myself. This congregation has so many gifts, and many of them have already been called out, and they are being used, and we celebrate that. But let's not get too comfortable. There are so many more gifts as well that can be grown and nurtured in God's kingdom. And so when I think about seeds being planted, I think about especially our children, our junior youth, our college age and young adults. Seeds planted within you that will grow and produce fruit as you follow Jesus. And I think about my experience in Seeds of the Kingdom and having not done a class of seminary yet, and I was just literally just out there in Central Plains with all of my questions. I didn't have a clue what I was doing half the time. But Central Plains said, we see gifts in you, and we want to give you a $500 scholarship to your first seminary class. Who's the next person in this congregation that wants a $500 scholarship to seminary? And maybe it doesn't have to be seminary, just some kind of a continuing education or something that you want to grow in or learn that you see as a part of following Jesus. We want to call them out and empower you that those seeds can grow and be nurtured in God's kingdom. And let's name some of the ones, places where it's already happening. Johanna Hoffer is going on a K-team this summer. Gifts being used as she connects with, actually working with some immigration issues in the Lancaster city here and working with other high school students coming in. So that's an awesome opportunity for Johanna that we want to continue to encourage. I'm thinking of even our high schoolers going on the service trip this summer, Madeline, and Ava's experiences in working with other service opportunities. Let's call those gifts out and empower them as they serve, and their seeds are nurtured and grown this summer. Seeds of the kingdom that are being nurtured. And finally, as we think about seeds, what are the spiritual practices and disciplines that we can begin and continue to practice that can grow the seeds planted within us? How does growth happen? That's basically the question that I'm asking here. How does the growth happen? And I think it happens in many ways. It certainly happens through God's Holy Spirit working within us. We read in this text that God's kingdom is going to come. It doesn't matter. That's the first parable here. It doesn't matter if we don't do anything at all. It says God's kingdom is going to come. But there's also a place for saying, how are we a part of it? And how are we helping to nurture this as well? And I think it, first of all, it happens through God's Holy Spirit in our lives. But another place where I see it, seeds being grown and nurtured, is through the practice of spiritual disciplines. Through the Holy Spirit, these spiritual disciplines form us, spiritual formation. into the likeness of Christ. And so actually we're in the next 2 months, we're going to have a sermon series on spiritual disciplines again. And you might remember that last year we also focused on spiritual disciplines, but as the worship committee was looking at a sermon series in the Leader magazine, it was again on spiritual disciplines, and we said, yes, let's do that. It takes multiple times sometimes to really get into what these spiritual disciplines are, how they are from God, and how through the practice of them, they form us into the likeness of Christ and God's kingdom. And so that's the invitation as well, to consider in your own heart, not only what are the seeds that need to be planted, but what are the practices and the disciplines in your own life that nurture and grow these seeds as we follow Jesus. I'm excited to hear from all of you the seeds that are being planted and continuing to grow as we follow Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. God, like a gardener who waits for seedlings to emerge from the ground, we trust in the mystery of new life within us that grows from you, from the tiniest of seeds. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help to nurture our faith. I pray that we may become a new creation through Christ. Lord, we thank you for the seeds that you are planting within us. Thank you for the seeds of love for one another and love for you. Thank you for the seeds of shalom and peace. Thank you for the seeds of justice that are being planted and growing. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to plant them within us. We ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to grow them within us as they produce fruit and as we follow Jesus. In your name, amen.